Larry leaned over to me and said, "That's a good Southern gospel song, isn't it?" Yeah, I said, "That's a foot-stomping song, too." Good job, choir. Good job. We're honoring our graduates today, and we're thankful again that you're here. And in our text today, if you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7, I'll be reading verses 24 through 29 in a few minutes. But just in 2 short weeks, the class 2015 will be graduating. Is that right? Are you excited about that? Somewhat, maybe. But we're glad each of you are here this morning and get the opportunity to honor your accomplishments. You have had a wonderful experience, and we'll have some lasting memories of your time in high school and those who have already graduated from college and those who are moving on from preschool to kindergarten. It's exciting for them. But just remember, you have only just begun to build your life. You've just begun to build your life. You know, it's important for you to know that the building process nowhere is close to being finished. Nowhere close to being finished. And you will spend the rest of your life here on earth continuing to build your life. And it's important to know that the last 12 years and the next several years are extremely important, because this is where you lay the foundation for building your life. And know that this message is not just for you who are graduating. Actually, it's for every one of us. We should never forget our roots, where we came from, and what God has in store for each one of us. He does have a plan for each one of us. And it is our responsibility to find out what God wants in our life, pursue our careers, how He has gifted us. There is that He has given us talents to pursue that. No matter how old we are still building our lives. And each one of us needs to hear and implement the principles in our scripture reading this morning. In Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 29. And I was thinking about the longevity of how to build our life. And it always begins with the foundation. And you know, we've seen faulty foundations in our life, haven't we? We've seen buildings standing straight, which signifies that it's a good foundation. But I have seen buildings or old structures that are leaning, meaning there's something has given away below. I want to take you back to 1174. How many remembers that year, that decade, that century? Do you know where I'm going with this? 1174, the Tower of Pisa, remember, that was built? And the architect had a great vision in mind. Actually, this tower was going to be 185 feet tall, which would be equivalent to 8 stories. But as they began to build this Tower of Pisa, they noticed that something drastically was going wrong. You know how many years it took to build it, this tower? 176 years. 176 years. That means it's over 800 years old now, isn't it? Or more. But as years went along, they noticed that it began to tilt a little bit. So, the authorities of Pisa decided that in order to have this building to be safe to enter and so forth without it falling, they would do a 25 million renovation over a period of years. And they would try to add a little to the structure as they were building it in order to make it look straight. But no matter what they did, it didn't help their situation down below. Actually, it ended up tilting 17 feet away from the vertical stance it was supposed to be. But over the years of reconstruction, renovation of this, they were able to reconstruct it, and when they finished, it was 16 inches closer to being vertical than it was when it started. So $25 million to get 16 inches, that's not very much, is it? But you know, didn't that represent our lives? Our lives as we begin life, you know, we started with a foundation of some sort. And the foundation that we build on the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus, we know is always going to be solid. The following scripture, I want us to look at this and follow along with me to see what Jesus has to say about the foundation. Now, in our scriptures, he's going to be talking about two different foundations. One that is built upon a rock, and the other one sand. And actually, the Tower of Pisa, that area was a sandy area. And they didn't go deep enough for the foundation for the Tower of Pisa, and that's why it ended up the way it did. It wasn't the design. It wasn't the interior marble that they put in it. It was the foundation. But follow on with me, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and shammed against the house, and yet did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and shammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. I think I'd be amazed at anything Jesus has ever said in the Word of God. I'm amazed at his teaching because it is the truth. In verse 29, he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So first of all, let's look at a faulty foundation. See, Jesus called the foundation faulty because it was built on sand, and a person who builds their life, according to what Jesus is saying, on sand is foolish. So what was he meaning when he refers to the foundation as sand? So for us to understand what Jesus is talking about, we have to know something about the area of Palestine. See, in the summer season, many of the rivers are called wallish. They dried up altogether and left a sand bed empty of water. No water, just sand. But just a few months later, when it began to rain, these waters became fast raging waters. Kind of like we have sometimes here in Indiana, when the rain just comes and it rains 3, 4, 5 inches, and all of our creek beds overflow and we got rushing water. So if you weren't familiar with the area, and didn't check the ground carefully, you could build a house directly in path of the raging water during the rainy season, not knowing that when it did come a flood, your house would be washed away. So why did this person want to build on the sand? Well, this calls for some speculation, because I believe these speculations are accurate. This person did not want to dig deep enough to know the structure of the house and its security. You know, sometimes there's a lot of contractors, a lot of construction people has cut corners over the years. Reminds me of a story of a man who, he was a rich man, and he had this caretaker, and he came to him, and he said, you know, I'm going away for a while, and I want you to take this area, which is about 5 acres, on the backside of my property. Here's the plans to build a house. I want you to follow the blueprint. Everything is supplied. All you got to do is build it. Make sure it's built according to the plans. This man, this rich man, he moved. I mean, he went on his trip. He was gone for quite a while, at least a year. And when he came back, he saw the structure. It looked good. But as he got to examining the walls and looked at the foundation and everything, he noticed it wasn't exactly to the plan. So he confronted his servant and said, you know, everything was taken care of. Everything was provided for you to build this house exactly to the plan. Secure, all done. All you had to do is just follow instructions. But he said, since you have built it this way, he said, you're the one that's going to be living in it. So he hands him the deed. So here a man, he thought he was going to cut corners and save some money and maybe pocket it himself. And yet, he shortchanged himself. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about. When we build on something solid, build our lives on something solid, which is a solid rock of Jesus Christ. See, there are plenty of sand foundation for foolish people to try to build our lives on today. Thinking about worldly foundations, philosophy. You know, what is the world's philosophy of life? Think about that. It's not always good. What about science? What about politics? What about jobs and careers? What about family? And then on the other side of not only worldly foundation, but religious foundations. You have congregational history. You have tradition. You have ritual. You have man-made creeds and confessions. And then a lot of people just think about good works. Everyone here today, I was thinking about that this morning. We need to ask ourselves, have I confused the building materials with the foundation? A lot of the good things that we do in the church, like baptisms, church membership, a good moral life are in themselves are a good building material. But they're not the foundation material. Because Jesus said, I am the rock. The only foundation that you should build on. See, Jesus said, building your life on the foundation that isn't stable and secure, and he said it right here in the scripture, is what? Foolish. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And just here recently, I was talking to a pastor who had been witnessing to this man who says that very same thing, there is no God. And he's been witnessing and trying to lead this man back to the Lord. And at one time in his life, he believed. He was a churchgoer. He went to church and everything. But in the past, something has occurred in his life, and now he's saying there is no God. And he is married recently and has a child and he doesn't want anything to do with God. One of these days, you know, the Bible says that we will all confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and we will bow in his presence. And then Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in himself, Solomon says this, he who trusts in himself is a fool. See, there are a lot, admittingly, foolish thoughts and behaviors. But look at what Jesus calls fools. Foolish. Hearing and not doing. How many times in my life, how many times in my own life I have wished that I had paid better attention to directions or advice given to me by people such much wiser than myself. And when I was young, when we're young, we think we know it all. I'm guilty of that. When I was young, I was told by my superiors, you don't do this, you don't do that. And I did it anyway, and I realized they were right. And then I tried to do the same thing as I grew up to teach our children and so forth, anyone that I had an opportunity to share the same thing, and hoping that they will follow good instructions. Rivia Zacharias did a lecture a few years ago at Ohio State University. As he was being driven to where he was going to deliver the lecture, he passed by the Wixner Art Center. And the driver said, this is the new building, art building, for the university. It's going to be a fascinating building designed in postmodernist view of reality. Did you gather that? The driver described the fascinating building this way. The building has no pattern. Staircases go nowhere. Pillars supporting nothing. The architect designed the building to reflect life. It went nowhere and was mindless and senseless. That's how the building was constructed. Professor Zacharias turned to the man describing the building and asked, did they do the same thing with the foundation? He laughed and answered, you can't do that with a foundation. That's true. Had a good foundation, but everything above was just a reality. And that pretty much describes a faulty foundation that Jesus describes here in earlier verses. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, Solomon said, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you everything you have, get understanding. And then Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So how does Jesus define the person who is wise builder? You see, he describes a wise builder as a person who hears the Word of God and then is faithful in doing the Word of God. And there are a great number of ways to become attentive to the Word of God. And one of those ways is to read the Word of God. And young people, I want to urge you, you know, you're going to have a lot of textbooks. And some of you have had a lot of textbooks in college. But the standard textbooks that you should read every day, and I'm being serious about this, is the Word of God. Take it with you and read it. And not only read it, but study it. And I know how rigorous college can be, how demanding it can be. It can be very demanding. It can take you away from everything that you want to do and you enjoy. But if you truly love the Lord and you truly want Him to be your life and allow Him to live His life through you, take your Bible with you and read it. Read it like you would any other textbook. And then study it. Analyze this message and how it applies to your life. You see, you're going to be reading other textbooks, and whatever your career is, you're going to be applying that to your life. You're going to be using that. But to build a good, solid foundation to understand God's purpose and will for your life, the Bible is the only book that can give you that solid foundation. It can give you something that will get you through life and not be faulty. And then not only do we read it and we study it, but reflect on it. Take some time to work it around your mind and your heart. Be present and participate in group studies of God's Word at college. They've got these organizations. I know Purdue has it. I was associated with a student there and a professor who, when I lived up there, I contacted back and forth. We talked, and they had a good study group of young people coming together on in the mornings to read and study the Word of God. So find out where those group studies are and get involved, and let that be a support group to you as well. Notice that Jesus' emphasis is not on just reading and studying the Word. His emphasis is not just hearing but doing the Word of God. Listen to James chapter 2, verse 26. He says, as a body without the Spirit is dead. Talking about this physical body. The body without the Spirit is dead. So faith without deeds or our works is dead as well. Turn over with me also to James chapter 1. I like to read these verses because it helps us to better understand how we will be blessed when we read the Word of God. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at the natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. And we don't need to forget what kind of person we are. We need to know inside, down deep inside. Verse 25, but the one who looks intently, deeply within, at the perfect law, the law of freedom or liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but effectual doer, this man will be what? Blessed. He who is doing the Word will be blessed. So there is a faulty foundation and there is a firm foundation. But what that shows the difference between the two foundations? And then Jesus talks about the storms in life. And believe me, they will come, won't they? The storms will come. Facing the storms. How do we face the storm? For you're listening this morning, you and I are to be rock builders. In Jesus' parable, if you had walked up to these houses, you probably wouldn't have been able to tell any difference just looking between the two. You probably wouldn't have been able to see. Do you know what the difference between the sand builder and the rock builder? You know what that is? Jesus is talking about it was the storm of life. It's the storm that reveals the foundation on which we build our lives. You know, when the storm came, the house built upon the sand, according to Scripture, it fell. The house on the rock, it stood. Notice how the storm is described. Look with me at the text. Pressure from above. The rains descended. And then the Bible talks about the pressures below. What's the pressures below? That's when the floods come. And then the Bible speaks about the pressures all around. What is that? That's when the wind blows. See, notice also the multiplicity of the storms, that how the storm of life hits us. See, we're buffeted by all directions. Seemingly, storms come from above, they come from below, and they come from all around. See, two very crucial concepts from this parable. Following Jesus does not exempt us from life's storms. You know, even though we know that Christ is with us, He is with us through storms. He's not our guarantee against the storms, but He is our guarantee through storms of life. The pressures of this life alone is pretty tremendous, aren't they? When we get into college and in our careers and so forth, and raising families and doing things on a regular basis, we know that there are going to be challenges in our life. And when we're confronted with them, if our life is built on the solid rock of Christ, on the solid foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can stand any test. But if we're not rooted into the Word of God, and we don't know who our Lord and Savior is down deep inside our hearts, then we are setting ourselves up for a great fall. Just like Jesus describes here about the physical things of houses compared to the spiritual things in our life. See, our faith will be tested. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Can I say that again? A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Our faith isn't a test in sunlight. Think about that. Our faith is not tested in the sunlight. It's tested in the storm of life. It's wonderful to be able to be on the mountain tops where you can see clearly. It's peaceful and it's so glamorous. But down in the valleys, sometimes is when we really do the growing, when we're tested and we can stand the test if we know the Lord Jesus Christ and He is with us. See, faith isn't tested in sunshine but in storms. On October the 17th, 1989, a massive earthquake struck the San Francisco area, and people there gave a lot of thought to the foundations on which they had built their houses and even the city. Buildings built on solid ground sustained much less damage than those that was built in fill-in situations. The south pier of the Golden Gate Bridge sits directly on top of San Francisco Fault. And yet it was undamaged in the quake because the weight of the bridge rests on two towers deeply embedded in the rock beneath the sea. It didn't bulge. It stood solid. And many of you may remember the double-decker freeway in Oakland, just across the bay from San Francisco, that collapsed during the World Series occurring at that same time. So what materials are we building on today? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus." So it's important that we build on the right foundation. And young people, many of you probably made decisions a few years ago or maybe earlier in life, and you've been building on that. But when we go, when we leave the security of our families and the security of the church, there's a lot of things that are tempting. A lot of things wants to sway us or pull us. And I didn't realize that myself until I entered college or even Bible college and seminary. Because there's things there that even as a country boy as I was, I thought I had a firm foundation, but I got pulled and stretched in so many different directions. If it hadn't been for my firm foundation, my heritage of faith, I could have been swayed so many different ways. But thank God, you know, I knew what my convictions were based upon in the Word of God. And I took my Bible with me. I studied it. I read it every day. And I prayed, God, you know, I'm weak often, but you're strong. Help me through the challenges. Help me through the temptations. Help me to be what you want me to be. And if we will remember that, God will be right there with you. But if we don't ask him, we won't feel his presence. We won't see his guidance. We will not have his understanding and wisdom. And you'll be as strong can be in the Word of God. But if you don't take it with you, if you don't read it, you don't study it, you don't apply it, then your faith will become weak. And we're praying for you, we're pulling for you, and we hope that you will be successful. But put Christ first. Let him be what he wants you to be in your life, and you'll be successful, more than you can even dream or comprehend. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your power that you demonstrate in our lives. Thank you for your revealing power of your Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding of your word. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only, because you want to bless each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray for these young people. I pray for everyone here today that we don't forget how we got where we are today. It's because of people who loves us and who people support us. We have our families and we have our church. And Lord, we'll always be praying for these young people and praying that your will, you'll protect them. You'll help them in their studies. You'll help them in giving them direction and keeping them safe. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally this morning as their Lord and Savior, we just pray that your Holy Spirit has penetrated into the depths of our hearts, softening those hard areas to receive what you want us to have in Christ Jesus. We thank you. In his precious name we pray. Amen. 330. Let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, 330. And if you, God is leading you to make a decision this morning, whether it's come to him to make him Lord and Savior of your life, or maybe you are looking for a church home, you'd be welcome here at Versailles Baptist Church, a wonderful church, a church that loves the Lord, loves to serve, and loves to help others in their walk with the Lord. You come as we sing. I'll be here to pray with you, talk with you, whatever God's leading you to do. You come as we sing.